Hebrews 8 this morning. This morning I want us to consider the topic serving in the shadows. Serving in the shadows. In the bulletin this morning there is on the right-hand side of the page a description of service. I encourage you sometime, not now, but sometime later on to read that and glean some understanding of what service is from Dr. A.T. Pearson. In the late 1800s, a large group of pastors from all over Europe came to a Bible conference that was put on by the great evangelist Dwight L. Moody. At that time in Europe, hotel guests would do something rather interesting. They would put their shoes outside of their rooms at night for them to be clean. Well, while in town for the Bible conference, these group of pastors, European pastors, did the same thing. But of course, this was America, and there were no hall servants. So, more than likely, they would take their shoes back out, or back inside, and they would be just as dirty as they were when they dropped them off. However, walking the halls where those pastors were staying that night came Mr. Dwight L. Moody. He saw those shoes, all those shoes, line up those dormitory halls, and he decided not to embarrass his guests. He mentioned the need to some seminary students who were there, but he was met with only silence by some and excuses by others. And unfortunately, we see that a lot in the churches today, don't we? When people see an opportunity or a need and it's presented, very often it's accompanied by excuses or silence. Well, that was the case with Mr. Moody. Mr. Moody returned to the hotel. He gathered up the shoes, and there, alone in his room, he began to serve in the shadows. He began to clean each one of those shoes and polish them to a shine. When the visiting pastors opened their doors the next morning, their shoes were shining. No one ever told who did this. Mr. Moody never told them. They never knew who did it. But only a friend that visited Mr. Moody's room that night knew what he did and why. And then this friend mentioned it to a few other people. During the rest of the Bible conference, different men volunteered to shine the shoes, serving in the shadows, and those pastors never knew the difference. Dwight L. Moody was a popular and great speaker. Many thousands were moved by the messages that God placed upon Dwight L. Moody's heart. But, deep down, Dwight L. Moody had a servant's heart, and he very often served in the shadows. Back then, those pastors came to hear Moody speak because he was a great speaker and a prominent man at that time. And yet, even though he was prominent to the rest of men, in his heart, he had a desire to serve those men. You know, people do not often like to serve in the shadows, do they? Very often, they instead like to be in the spotlight. And we can imagine, if you go to the Murat Theater to see a play or something like that, very often you will see the spotlights that are placed on the prime actors as they are there before you. And those spotlights follow every move that those people make, so you can visibly see what they're doing. The actors love for applause. That's what drives them. They are thrilled and they enjoy it. They experience that spotlight and they love that spotlight. If you were to go to the theater district in New York City there, and you were to ask them on Broadway, what makes you do what you do? And a lot of people, they might be Hollywood actors and they go to Broadway, and they don't make as much money while they're there at Broadway, and you ask them, why do you do what you do? Why did you give up such a fabulous career there in Hollywood, making all sorts of money doing these movies, and came here to Broadway? It was the reason is because they wanted to hear the applause of the people. They enjoy the spotlight. A lot of people like to serve because they want to have the spotlight upon them. This morning, however, I want to think about how we ought to serve the Lord in the shadows. Our service this morning ought to reflect the service of Christ. And that is the theme that I want us to focus on this morning. Our service ought to reflect the service of Christ. Christ was placed in the forefront, yet he never sought the spotlight. He was placed there to serve for people, yet he very often served in the shadows. Very often he served in prayer alone on his face before his heavenly Father. We, as Christians, need to not be those that are looking to be in the spotlight, but those that want to serve in the shadows. Serve in the shadows like those that will pull the curtains up and down, like those who will move the props back and forth, like those who are there in the play that never get much prominence and never get much focus, but we ought to serve Christ in the shadows. You see, the Lord very often did so. He often served without recognition or even thanks. So this morning I want to first look at the service of Christ. If you have an outline, I encourage you to use it and to follow along with me. But let's first look at the service of Christ. In verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews chapter 8, we read this. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Basically, that phrase is pointing back to all the things from chapter 7 and chapter 6 that dealt with Christ as high priest. And he's saying this is the main point. This is the culmination of all that we have discussed. He says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. This is the main point. Here it is. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, verse 2, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Before we really get into this passage and into these verses, I want to look at that phrase in a different way, where it says, we have such a high priest. And then it describes where he serves. But then in verse 2, it describes who this high priest is and what he does. So let's look at the phrase this way. We have such a high priest, a minister. That is a description of who our high priest is, of who Jesus is. We have such a high priest who is a minister. This is what Jesus does. He ministers. He serves. This is who Jesus is. He is a minister. He is a servant. It says we have a high priest. That word have is very interesting because it describes something that is a present possession for those who have Christ as their Savior. In other words, it means that not only did Jesus serve us when he lived in this earth and died for us, but here's an amazing thought. Jesus continues to serve us even now while he lives in heaven. Isn't that an amazing thing? Right now, we as Christians, if we have put our faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation from our sins, we have as a present possession Jesus Christ as a servant for us in heaven. This is something that I have thought about this week, and sometimes it just boggles my mind to think that in heaven, the heaven of heavens, there is a man. There is a man by the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. He is 100% man and 100% God, and he now, in a physical flesh of some sort, is now in heaven serving me and serving you. His service did not stop when he ascended into heaven. His service continues. And that is an amazing thought. If you really can grasp it and think about it, his service for you continues. Because it says here, he is a minister. We have right now in heaven a high priest who serves as a minister. That word minister was very often used for the activities that the priests would perform. He is right now actively performing his functions as high priest for you and for me. And what does a high priest do? A high priest's main function is to bring men into the presence of God. That is what Jesus is doing right now. He has not finished his work. His work continues. His service for you and for me continues. Yes, his service of redemption was finished when he died on the cross. When he rose again, it provided him that great opportunity in heaven to continue to serve you and me into eternity. So how did Christ serve us? I'd like to first consider how Christ served us when he lived here on earth. If you'll turn with me, keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 8, but look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to turn to the Gospels and spend some time in the Gospels for a few moments. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Remember when Jesus went and he was 12 years old with his family, and they went to the temple in Jerusalem, and his family ended up leaving, and where was Jesus? He was left there at Jerusalem. And the parents went several days, and they were worried about him. They couldn't find him anywhere, so they had to go back to Jerusalem, and they found Jesus teaching there in the temple. And they asked him, well, why are you here? Didn't you not even think about us? And look at Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Jesus said this, and he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not, or do you not know, do you not realize that I must be about my Father's business? Even at that young age, even when he was a child, Jesus knew that he was here to serve. Jesus Christ came to serve. Even at age 12, he realized he was here to serve. Turn to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 9, verse 35 and 36. Mark chapter 9, just a book over, just a few pages over. Mark 9, verse 35 and 36, we read this. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. According to this passage, Jesus knew that his service was to meet the needs of people. He was there on earth to meet the needs of people. Yes, he was there to meet physical needs. We saw here that he went around and he healed every kind of disease and every kind of sickness around the people. But you know what really moved him? The spiritual needs of those people. Because when he saw the multitudes in verse 36, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He realized, he understood, he knew his purpose, and that purpose was to serve, and to serve humanity, and to serve and to meet their physical needs, and to serve and to meet their spiritual needs, and he was going to be the great shepherd that would give his life for the sheep. Let's turn over to the Gospel of John for a moment and see how else Christ did serve on earth. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. We see that Jesus did not serve in the spotlight like a lot of people would like. A lot of people want that spotlight on them. Jesus wasn't this kind of servant. John 13, verses 4 and 5, we read this. Jesus rose from the supper, and he laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself, and after that he poured water into a basin. And what did he do? He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Here at the Last Supper, Jesus Christ took the form of a servant, a menial house servant. And he took a bowl of water, and he took a towel, and he went to each of his disciples, and he washed their dirty, filthy feet. That was the kind of service that Jesus Christ provided. Jesus shows that how, when you serve in the shadows, it requires a humble heart and a love for people. Jesus Christ had a humble heart. Even though he created this entire world, he came in the form of a servant. Even though he was King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you know what? He loved people. And he came to serve people because he loved them. Turn over now to Mark chapter 10. Just another passage that describes for us how Christ served when he lived here on earth. Mark chapter 10, again, the passage that we read earlier this morning. Look at verse 45 for a moment. Mark 10, verse 45, it says this. For even the Son of Man, Jesus says, even I, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister or to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus knew that his ultimate act of service would be his own death. He realized and he knew that the ultimate act of service was to be give his life a ransom for many. You see, when Jesus was here on earth, he served in the shadows. He did not receive the recognition that he deserved. He deserved to be put on the throne immediately and have everyone come and worship at his feet, and yet he did not receive the recognition that he deserved. But do you realize that after Jesus died, after he gave his life a ransom for many, he did not stop serving? His work of redemption was finished, but he never stopped working and serving. You see, Christ gave his life in death for his people. But Christ now gives his life in service for his people. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Jesus Christ serves on this earth and serves us in heaven even today. So how does Jesus Christ serve while he is living in heaven? This is what our text talks about this morning. So if you turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 8, how does Jesus serve us in heaven? In verses 1 through 5 of Hebrews chapter 8, these verses reveal three things about his service in heaven. It reveals where he serves you, it reveals how he serves you, and it reveals even why he serves you. If you are a Christian, he serves you even today. So let's look at this. Verses 1 and 2 describe where Jesus serves today. Let's read those verses again. Now, the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Again, the main point. We have such a high priest, and that word such is so filled with meaning because it looks back at everything that we've described about this high priest, how he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, that mysterious Old Testament figure. It describes his own perfection. If you remember in chapter 7, verse 26, it talked about a high priest who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. What a wonderful description of our sinless Savior. And it goes on, we have such a high priest in verse 1, who is now set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That is where Christ serves today. Christ no longer serves in this world in that way where he had to give his own life. Now he serves where he belongs, in heaven itself. It says here, he is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. You see, Jesus was the suffering servant when he was on earth. You've heard that phrase before. Now he is the exalted servant in heaven. Jesus is the exalted servant in heaven, yet he still remains a servant. And he continues to serve night and day for you and for me. This is the main point of this section in the book of Hebrews. Everything that was said about Jesus Christ being a high priest points to the fact that he is now serving in heaven for us as a high priest. Look just a chapter, a page over in Hebrews 9, verse 24. It says this. Hebrews 9, verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, referring to a physical building like our church, but they were figures of the true. But look where he has entered, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God, and what are those next two words? For us. For us. Jesus Christ is in heaven right now, serving you and serving me. That is the whole point of him being our high priest, is that he will continually serve his people. One of those great services that we looked at, Brother David mentioned 2 weeks ago, about his intercessory work, where he intercedes for us to God. He is the one that we can go to and through to enter the presence of the Father in heaven. He serves today in heaven for us. That is where he serves. That is where he serves. But how does he serve? Look at verse 3 for a moment of Hebrews chapter 8. It says, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man, referring to Jesus, have someone also to offer. The point of this verse is that every priest has to offer something, or else they're not doing their job. And Jesus here, as a high priest, as the ultimate high priest, offers the gift and sacrifice of himself completely in order to serve us. That's the amazing thing, is that the priests that the Old Testament order had, if you look in the Old Testament, you read all those stories about the Old Testament priests, you know what? They were serving God. They were doing their job. They were doing these things, but they didn't give themselves completely to that service. They had families that they had to feed. They had lives that they had to live as well. That was their job, if you will. They would go home. They would kick their feet up just like the rest of us. They would relax and they would get their sleep. They were men with infirmities and problems just like us. But you know what? Jesus Christ doesn't have that infirmity. He never grows tired of serving you and serving me in heaven. And that is a wonderful thing, because he now offers a gift and a sacrifice of himself, not just in death, but in eternal life for us. He gives himself completely in order to serve us. And he serves today by giving himself completely for us. That is how he serves. He serves in his entirety. His whole reason for existence right now in heaven for us is to serve us and to bring us into the presence of his Father. He does that for us. But why does Jesus serve us today? Look at verses 4 and 5 for a few moments. Why does he serve us? It says, for if Jesus were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mountain. According to these verses, Jesus Christ is the real servant. It's saying in verse 4, when it says if he were on earth, he shouldn't be a priest, it's because there already were priests that were established by the law that Moses gave to the people. They were already established, yet Jesus Christ is not that kind of a priest. He was established because of the oath that God the Father gave him. He is of a different order, a different character. He's a different kind of priest. He is the ultimate priest, if you will. He is the real minister, the real servant. And the focus of these verses shows us that everyone else that assumed the role of a priest to God only served to point out to the greatest servant of all. I want you to consider verse 5 with me for a moment. It's talking about those Old Testament priests who served unto the example and shadow of heavenly things as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, God said, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. There's three words in those verses that I want us to think about. The three words are these: example, shadow, and pattern. Because all these words, these three words, describe for us why Jesus Christ is our servant. Why he serves us today. Because all service, all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the Bible, points to him as the ultimate servant of all. Look at this. The very first one, example. That word example can also be translated sign. What do signs do for us? What do signs do for us? They point out the way where we're to go, don't they? It's very interesting. We were driving up Fortville Pike this morning, and it really caught my eye because as I was going past the library, the new library there, there is a turn, a turn in the road. And it's a very sharp turn. You got to slow down for it. You're probably all familiar with that. Do you know what happened? The sign that has it's the yellow sign, it has the arrow showing the curve go that way. Somehow, one of the bolts on that sign fell off, and it flipped upside down. So now, the arrow was pointing that way, backwards. And I looked at it, and it caught my eye, and I just kind of had a chuckle about it, because that wouldn't help anybody in the middle of the night if they weren't familiar with the area, because they're going to think, oh, okay, the curve's going that way. You know what? They're going to go off into a cornfield. But that's what signs are supposed to do when they are working right. They're supposed to point the way. And look at what the Old Testament was all about. It says here in verse 5, they served unto the example of heavenly things. In other words, they pointed to what was going on and what was going to go on in heaven through Christ. They were pointing out what Jesus Christ, who is the greatest servant of all, would do for us. Isn't that an amazing thing? All the things that the Old Testament priests had to go through, Jesus Christ has done and now is serving on the basis of his own death and the basis of what he has already offered, and he is giving himself completely for the work and the service of his own people. He is serving us even today in heaven, and everything in the Old Testament pointed that way. The second word that we look at here is the word shadow. Shadow. A shadow is something that reveals the form of something. Right? We have some spotlights up here, and I can see my shadow very often. But you know what? Shadows do not reveal the fine details, do they? They don't reveal the fine details. They just give an outline of what is going on. If you were to look at your own shadow, you're not going to see the color of your eyes. You're not going to see the wrinkles of your skin. You're not going to be able to see the tie that you're wearing or the clothes that you're wearing. You're just going to see a broad figure. And that is what the Old Testament was all about. It was to be a shadow of things to come. A shadow of the service of Christ in heaven for eternity. It was a shadow of what Jesus Christ was doing for his own people right now in this place in heaven for us. And we need to realize that the Old Testament priests were serving the Lord, but they were serving under the shadow of Christ. And isn't that what we all do and all ought to do when we serve the Lord? We ought to serve under his shadow. Making sure that what we do in service points to him. That what we do is a figure of what he is doing for us in heaven. The third word here is the word pattern. A pattern basically is a stamp. And what does a stamp do? A stamp will put an impression of something that it originally had. If you were to go to the United States Mint to see how they made coins. They make billions and billions of coins. And did you realize now that a penny costs more than a penny to make? I've heard that statistic. It costs more than a penny to make a penny. So really, they're worth more than a penny, right? But if you were to go to the U.S. Mint and see how they made pennies, they will produce thousands and millions and perhaps even billions of planchets. round pieces of metal. What they do is they stick those, and they have these huge high-power presses where there is a die for both sides of that coin. And what that will do is it will, with great, tremendous pressure, it will stamp the original impression from those dies onto that penny. And then we have a penny that's worth less than what it was made for, right? And then we can use it and spend it, or throw it in the fountain, or, you know, drop it on the ground and not worry about it. So it's not worth a whole lot. But it's amazing to see what a stamp will do. It makes an impression. And that is the pattern. That was what Moses was told to do. He said, what you see in heaven, what you see, what I've showed you, I want you to produce and reproduce as a model here on earth. So all of the Old Testament was designed to be a stamp or a pattern which resembles the original. Everything, by the example, by the shadow, by the pattern, the Old Testament priests were to serve the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ and to point to Him and His service today. Jesus Christ serves today because He is the only one who can truly meet our needs. He is the only one that all these other services point to and pointed to throughout history. And that is why He serves us. It's because He is the one who serves in the light. See, when Jesus was on earth, He served in the shadows, but now He is in heaven serving in the light. And you know what? Now it's us. Now it's us that need to serve in the shadow of Jesus. So we've just thought about the service of Christ. Now I want to finish up our service this morning by thinking about the service of Christians. Turn with me, if you will, to Mark chapter 10. The passage that we looked at earlier this morning when we first started. Mark chapter 10. And we read again, the context of this is James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were asking the Lord to give them power and places of prominence and authority. And Jesus said, well, it's really not my place to give. It's my Father's place. And then He gives them an important lesson, verses 42 through 45, which I want to read again. Mark 10, verse 42. But Jesus called them to Him and all His disciples and said unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And their great ones exercise authority upon them because they want that prominence. They want to be in that spotlight. Verse 43. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your, what? Minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be, what? Servant of all. Verse 45. This is what we just looked at. He served on earth, and now He serves in heaven. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and even to give His life a ransom for many. We need to realize that our service as Christians ought to reflect the service of Christ. So where should we serve God today? You and I need to serve Him in His shadow while we are living in this world. We are to serve Him in His shadow so that He can continue to live His life through us. Galatians 2:20, Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know, when we serve, and we serve properly through Christ and for Christ, it is in fact Him serving again in this world for others. He continues to live in our lives. But our service in this world needs to be directed toward heaven, which is where Christ is. We need to be like those Old Testament priests that served, and we need to point to Christ as the ultimate service in heaven. What good is it if we do service to others and never point people to Christ? What good is that service? It might help people feel better. They might have clothes. They might have food in their belly. They might have a car to drive. They might have all these different things that we can serve them with. But if we never have a kingdom-focused and a kingdom-directed service, what good will our service do? In 1993, Franklin Graham, the son of Billy Graham, Franklin Graham's organization known as Samaritan's Purse began something called Operation Christmas Child. Some of you may have heard about this. In which what they do is they pack shoeboxes with gifts for needy children all around the world. That is a great service, isn't it? There's a lot of children all throughout the world, especially third world areas, that don't have anything. They don't have any toys. They don't have any crayons. They don't have anything at all. That's a great service. But what makes this kind of service reflect the service of Christ? What makes it a kingdom-focused service? What kind of service will point it to the service of Christ? According to its website, it says this, the boxes give these children hope, produce them to the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, they don't just fill it with toys and candy. They don't just fill it with crayons and colored pencils. They fill it with hope and information about the good news of Jesus Christ. It talks about God's greatest gift to the world. It says, during distributions, boys and girls are offered copies of an illustrated gospel booklet in their own language. And through their follow-up discipleship program, they can participate in a voluntary Bible study course taught by local churches. That is how you have a service that mirrors and reflects the service of Christ. A kingdom-focused service. When you serve Christ in the shadows, you know what's going to happen? You're going to focus on Christ's service. You're going to point others to the greatest servant of all, Jesus Christ, who serves even now in heaven for us as the high priest. Do you realize that our church can serve under the shadow of Christ by doing something like that? When we see opportunities, we need to take those opportunities. We need to meet those needs. But ultimately, they need to be a kingdom-focused service so that we can bring others to Christ as well. That is where we should serve. We should serve on earth with a kingdom-focused service. But how should you serve God today? How should you serve God today? You and I also need to serve Him in His shadow by giving ourselves the same way He gave Himself to us. Completely. Completely. And this is what He continues to do for us. When you realize that Jesus Christ is serving you in heaven right now at the throne of God for you, for us, it says, how much more motivating should that be to us? To serve Him completely. To serve Him. To give Him our all. To serve Him in the shadows, yes, but to serve in the same way, giving Him everything about us. In 1872, Henry Varley said this, almost casually, he said, the world has yet to see what God will do with one man fully consecrated to Him. That is what it means to be fully and completely devoted to Him in service. Someone who heard those words later wrote about it. He said this, a man. Varley meant any man. Varley didn't say that he had to be educated or brilliant or anything else. Just a man. Well, this man said, by the Holy Spirit in me, I'll be that man. And that man turned out to be the person that we looked at earlier, Dwight L. Moody, one of the greatest revival preachers in America who still remained a man with a heart of service for people. You and I can serve under the shadow of Christ by serving like that. By serving fully, completely consecrated to the Lord with a kingdom-focused service. That is how we should serve. But why should we serve God today? You know, the Old Testament priests served in order to point to reveal, and to resemble the ultimate service of Christ. That is what those three words meant that we looked at earlier. And this is why we should serve as well. The reason why we serve is not just to meet needs. It is not just because we're told to. It's not just because someone has kind of twisted our arm in order to do it. We ought to serve Him because He is serving us. And because when we serve, we are simply reflecting Christ's service in heaven for His people. Like the song says, may Christ be seen in me, O Lord. Hear Thou my earnest plea. Oh, take me, fill me, use me, Lord, till Christ be seen in me. We ought to serve under the shadow of Christ so that we can point to Him, so that we can reveal Him to others and resemble Him in our own life and ministry here on earth. So this morning, think about how the Lord Jesus Christ is serving you even right now. Even right now. While we're sitting here, He is serving us in heaven, the right hand of the throne of God. And think about how your service ought to reflect the service of Christ. And how we ought to serve under His shadow. Serving under the shadows sometimes is not a glamorous thing. Sometimes it means cleaning feet like Jesus did, or washing shoes like Dwight L. Moody did, or cleaning a toilet like some of you do periodically. Grace Cleaning Crew is a great opportunity. Serving under the shadows does an amazing thing. Just like the Old Testament priest, you know what it does? It points to the service of Christ. It reflects it to the world, and it allows Him to put that in our lives so we will resemble His service as well. So this morning, let us serve in the shadows and consider the service of Christ and the service of Christians. Because serving in the shadows is what Christian life is all about. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you again for the privilege that we have had to be here today to focus on the service of Jesus Christ and how his service is high and exalted in heaven, and yet he condescends to us even now. And Lord, I pray that you will speak to us and show us that the way Christ serves is the way that we also ought to serve. Father, help us to serve because you have served us and continue to serve us in heaven. Lord, help us to serve in the shadows, to take these opportunities so that you might increase and we might decrease. I pray, Lord, this morning that Christ might be seeing us in our attitudes of service to you, even as you continue to serve us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.